Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. We are talking team collaboration today. We are talking team teams. We are talking Office 365. We are talking to Mr. Ducks. How's it going, Ducks?
I'm doing good, buddy. How about yourself?
No real complaints. Still hanging in there, although the weather is getting better, and we have some beautiful weather outside, which makes it easier to kind of, you know, just get some fresh air. So I there's always a lot of things to complain about the world. There's really... Realistically, things are on the up and up, and so.
Speaking of good summer weather, can I recommend a good summer brew for you?
Yes.
Here, so here's the latest brew from a microbrewery in Redmond. So it's a share pint IPA. You know, there's no I in Teams, but there's I in IPA and SharePoint, right? So.
Now, is that an officially licensed share pint right there?
Yeah, I mean, the man himself, Jeff Tepper, shared this online. So I ordered a bunch and now I have it.
That's the blessing that we would be needing until Microsoft Legal calls you up. But we'll just say Jeff said it was fine.
I downloaded the label from his OneDrive. So that's legit, right?
Yeah, I mean, that is basically as good as a licensing agreement. So I see no issues with any of this. Mm-hmm. So, Duck, since we have talked last, I know we say every month, there's a lot going on in the Office 365 world, but we had Build, and then we've also had some other things roll out, and I could just rattle through all this stuff, and it would take a while, but there's been some big announcements. Like the first one, 3x3 calling in Teams is now available. Just a nice little half. I think we're all still holding out for maybe some more 3x3, maybe 9x9 with Microsoft, if you're listening, but we'll get there. 3x3 is a good update. Chat pop-outs, now everybody has that, which that is, to me, like 3x3 chat's great, don't get me wrong, but chat pop-outs to me is much more beneficial. I don't know about you.
And that's one thing I really miss from Skype, and that's, I'm glad Microsoft took everybody's advice and put that back in, because back in the days, right, the original vision of Teams is to make you focus, one interface, so you don't jump around, but that's not reality. So the ability to pop out chats, and in the future, pop out meetings as well, which is going to be so cool.
Yeah, I completely agree, which ties nicely into another feature that is going to be coming here to Teams. I don't think it's available quite yet, but they're introducing, and honestly, I was a little bit surprised that this didn't exist, contextual search into specific chats. Right now you can do like a nice global search and all that, but right now if you open up your chat and you control F, it doesn't really work. But what's going to be super nice is we'll have those pop-out chats, control F, and you can search in that specific vertical, and it's going to make things, it's just a nice little, you know, benefit or thing to have that's coming.
Absolutely, because, you know, what's happening in Teams now with a great adoption, right? I mean, it's good you have a global search, but it's becoming like any other search engine where there's so much stuff that's popping up, right? So if I can filter it, I can zero into the appropriate context, that would be much more beneficial.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And they're all just little things. And another little thing, but it's a big deal for me, is Microsoft actually announced at Build that NDI support. Now, for those who aren't super familiar with what NDI is, it's actually what we can use for podcasting. And so it'll make our transition to podcasting on Teams, which we can now do, although I kind of hack things together, but it'll make it a much more native solution where you can just basically go behind the scenes, grab the plumbing, and plug it right into your hard drive and just rip those feeds. And it actually is going to make things really, really easy for broadcasters too, like the professional grade broadcasters to kind to use Teams as their conduit going forward.
I wonder if it has to do with the voice using Teams, right?
It's not a bad thought. I mean, if you think about it, like they go to them and they're like, yeah, we'll do it. Give us your NDI hookups. And Microsoft's like, oh.
No, that's what I'm telling you. They already used it in this last season of voice. However, they didn't really use it. You're right. They use it for the remote judging, remote. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I think more and more as media is, you know, consumer media is looking into all this now. Yeah, that could be a requirement. And like you said, for broadcasting, imagine you're on, you know, live news and then they bring you in through Teams.
Yeah. And it's just all these little things. And Microsoft also announced a Build. And so this is for the developer side, is that it's going to be a lot easier to start building applications and honestly just exporting them straight from Visual Studio or code or whatever you're doing and getting them into Teams. And then the really nice feature that Microsoft is digging on, and I'm curious on your feedback on this because you live in this ecosystem, Ducks, is that they're going to make licensing of third-party applications significantly easier in Teams, where the IT admin can do it on the back end through a new control interface And so when you set up a user, you can provision and license those third-party apps from inside the team's interface. I think that's going to be a big win for a lot of third parties.
Oh, that's going to be huge for us because today, right, we do have apps in the team store and app source, but the licensing is still separate from within Teams. So if it's natively in Teams, easier to deploy and it's more streamlined, that would be beneficial not only for us as an ISV, but certainly for customers as well.
Yeah, it's all about, again, just little things. Although that is actually, to be honest, a pretty big thing, especially for the IT pro side where they're trying to juggle so many different licensing balls at the same time, just getting it all in there. But it's just one more little thing that's adding up. Now, Dux, I do have a question, which I honestly didn't put in the show notes because I want to get your gut reaction on this. So Teams is very clearly not just growing up, but some people are saying it's also blowing up like in the waistline. It has a ton of functionality. There's a lot you can do. You can honestly just live inside of Teams if you really wanted to. Is there a point where the application becomes too big or too bloated or too much of a, hey, this is an everything type world? Or do you think Microsoft is on the right track that, hey, let's just get it all in there and try to separate it out from Windows?
You know, I do agree with you, and I have two comments to that. My first comment is, you know, I always thought about Teams, that Teams is a business operating system or a teamwork operating system or a collaboration operating system, however you want to call it. And in order to fulfill that mission, really, we'll need a lot of components in it. And that's the part where you say it's blowing up. And to me, if used well, used right, it's not a bad thing. My analogy to that is Windows. I mean, these days, not everybody uses Windows, but if you look at Windows, Windows has a lot of stuff. And through time, it grew to what it is today. And it's relevant, it's useful, there's constant iteration. So I think Teams is on that path, but in a good way. In fact, I was reading something to my second point. I think it was Jeff Dieper, one of the Microsoft execs, envisioning Teams to be as prevalent as Windows. I mean, that's still a ways away because Windows has what, over billions of users?
Over a billion, right? Yep.
Yeah, and Microsoft 365 has, or Office 365 has over 380 million. Teams right now, they have 75 million active usage, daily active users. So it's still a ways away, but that's like the grand vision for where they want Teams to be.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to watch how things just continue to evolve. I'm sort of in the middle ground if it's too bloated or not, because on one hand, I like how you called it like the business OS or whatever that terminology. I really like that description because it's absolutely true. I mean, just using it, if somebody sends you an Excel doc and you click it, it actually opens up inside of Teams. You can make the edits and then you can live almost literally your entire day inside that Teams window. Now, it's not always the best work experience, but it is actually possible to do that if you really, really want to live that lifestyle. And so from that aspect, I think that's a very interesting analogy. On the other side of it, I also just hope that Microsoft moves cautiously and that they don't just keep throwing things in there because it's like, oh, that looks like a good feature. I bet our users would love it. And then I just got to be careful because you got to nail the basics. You have to absolutely nail the basics across the entire board. Perfect example being Zoom. Why did Zoom blow up? It's not because it had hundreds and hundreds of features. It's because it had, you send a link, people click it, and then they're in. And that's what it did well. And so I don't want Microsoft to lose focus of, hey, we got to nail the basics before we keep adding more things into the kitchen sink.
And that's the other part of the equation, right? Yep. While certainly this idea of having a centralized one-stop shop, secure single platform is great. But at the same time, you know, people are used to point solutions, especially now we live in this consumer app-driven world. Zoom is for meetings. WhatsApp is for group chat. Yep. Google Docs is for document collaboration. Slack is for that, team-based communication. And people are used to that mindset, right? And telling people that Teams can do all of it, while that's great, the bigger challenge is, can it do all of it well? And that's your point around being able to nail the basics.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, and I have a lot of respect for Jeff. He is a very smart individual. He knows exactly what's going on, and I think he's a great person to lead this. And I'm curious to see, because he's only taken over the Teams team relatively recently, right?
Couple months ago, because I know he looks after the SharePoint engineering team, OneDrive, Office engineering, and it makes sense. Now, he looks after the team's engineering team as well, because all of those work harmoniously, essentially as a single platform.
Yeah, and so I have a lot of respect, and he's a very good leader, and I'm hoping that he, you know, he makes the right moves. It's always a challenge, right? Because I have, well, we both live in like an isolation, like, right? I use it for my certain things, and he's got to look at the broad, currently, actually, I bet it's probably higher than 75 million users monthly or daily at this point. And so it'll be interesting to see how he puts his own little flavors or continues to drizzle on the little Jeff Teeper magic that he has been known to do over the years. So moving on, another big thing announced at Build was actually Microsoft 365 lists. Now, I know we just got over the fact of like, hey, adding too much to Teams or not enough stuff, but I can tell you, Dux, I'm pretty excited about this one because yes. I can already see how we can integrate it into our workflow at BWW Media Group because it's just, it's a nice to-do list task group management tool, and it's coming in, I believe, this summer, and it's going to be quote unquote free or included in your subscription.
Yeah, and I think that's a natural evolution of SharePoint lists, right? So yes. While certainly Microsoft Lists is a new app, it's really not new. It came, the way I would, I saw an analogy out there, I forgot who, but you know, think of it as SharePoint Lists as Yoda, Microsoft Lists as like baby Yoda.
I like
it's more
it.
Useful, you know, relevant, and it's not too big like SharePoint, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about it. But one question I do have, while you and I will figure it out again, when you talk about list, task manager, group management, how does this relate to the bigger picture of planner, to do, or in certain aspects, Microsoft Project, right? So now we go back to when to use what for project or task management. But so, overall, what I've seen on Build, though, it looks really good.
Yeah, I had that exact question. You're exactly right. I did ask Microsoft. I said, hey, you guys have To Do, and then you're now promoting Microsoft 365 list. They wouldn't talk about Task and Planner and all that other stuff yet, but they said very clearly that To Do in their marketing is for single individual use only. And that is how they're going to be pushing that, and that they're looking at lists as the collaborative Microsoft 365 tool. Now, Dux and I both know that Microsoft will say that, and then they're going to go add collaboration features to To-Do, and then we're going to be like, well, that kind of fell apart. But at least initially, that is how Microsoft is siloing those two things. But part of me, Dux, I got to tell you, part of me hopes that there actually is overlap, because I would like that list to tie into my To-Do and then able to see both views. But, you know, we'll see.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think about, speaking of Build, what do you think about Fluid Framework? I mean, they've announced it a while ago, but they now doubled down on this and show a lot of other cool stuff. What do you think about it?
So Fluid Framework, to me, is the future of Office. That's the way I think about it. Like, people will always say, Brad, you know, here, please help us understand what's going on today. That's great. You know, here's Teams announcement. We just talked about the chats, the pop-outs, and all that stuff. And then when people say or ask, they say, where is Office going tomorrow? And the Fluid Framework is absolutely the Office of tomorrow. Think of it almost, somebody called it a new document type. I don't necessarily like that analogy. It's more of taking components of Office applications and bringing them to where you are working.
Yeah.
An example being, if you're in email and there's an Excel table of expenses from your trip to Shift Happens conference, and you know, you're a manager and then you're looking at expenses coming in, well, you know, two employees can be updating that list, and then in your email or wherever that list is embedded, it's getting updated as well. It's like a really rich, living collaboration experience. And honestly, that to me was the most exciting announcement at Build.
Yeah, the way I think about it, it's a content object, right? It's
That's a good way.
It's a abstracted content object that could live anywhere. And now the question I have is, it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's really cool. It's a future. Mm-hmm. Now the question is, where's the one source of truth then? So if you think about requirements around records retention, records management.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you think about records management, right? It's a very linear, singular piece of information, be it a document or an email. But this doesn't apply anymore because this object can live in a bunch of places. And then where's the source of truth? So those are some of the questions. While it's great, it's futuristic, it's going to challenge a lot of these existing compliance regulation. And requirements that organizations have to subscribe to.
And that's what, and that is why I love this podcast, because I never would have thought of that, because that is a perfect scenario. Because one of the things when I talk to people, like at a law firm, for example, they have a lot of trouble oftentimes getting over to Teams, because they have this built-in mindset that, hey, when I email Ducks a document, that is a justified, cemented action that is discoverable. And that is part of their framework they have to abide by. This is a whole different shift about how you, because everybody, every update, every line item change in theory could be a discoverable item in a court case, and you're liable for that. So does that mean that there's version save, which I'm assuming there is, but you're right. Mm-hmm. There has to be one version of documented truth that has a trail to it.
Right. Right. And yeah, there's so many implications, but look, you know, we figured it out. Way back when we did hieroglyphics, and we've got text, so we're still around, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, that opens up so many, like you think about the health industry, where you can honestly understand how easily that information could and should be shared, but at the same time, there has to be limits on, you know, the privacy. Oh man, that's a dandy of a question there, Ducks.
Yeah, and then GDPR and California CCNA, you know.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. But dovetailing nicely into that, actually reaching general availability today are sensitivity labels in Microsoft 365. So it makes you wonder, is like, obviously the crew building Fluid Framework is not ignoring this, but sensitivity labels tying into this, maybe?
Yeah, well, the best part about what's announced today is the automated classification as well, which is really cool, because look, we know classification is important for the, you know, last 20, 30 years, we rely on people to classify their content appropriately. So for example, let's say you work for government and you're working on some top secret piece of document. It's your responsibility to put top secret on that, so that when it's stored in SharePoint or a file share, it's put in the right place and it's discoverable. But, you know, people are people. I'm guilty of this. I don't tag or classify my content. So what Microsoft has introduced, it's an automated way to do it based on certain requirements. And you can define, I don't know, credit card number or social security number. And once it picks it up, you can tag or classify it appropriately. So that's really cool.
That is one of the instances where Microsoft's AI ML is actually really, really powerful, because I'm the same way, right? We have sensitive data. Maybe it's client information. Maybe it's our billing or all that stuff. And having it automatically tagged, because it knows if it's, hey, we see an invoice number, that information should be locked away in X area. That is actually extremely powerful, primarily, in my opinion, against accidental data leakage, which is one of the primary ways that data gets out. I mean, I don't think most people are intentionally sharing confidential information, but they accidentally do. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think that's a good thing. And you're right. I think it will roll into all these new technologies that's coming out. It's, you know, it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. And I really give props to Microsoft trying to not only innovate, but also make sure that whatever they innovate still adheres to the reality of security requirements, compliance needs around the world.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is spot on. And so those are now generally available. You can find a whole bunch more information. We'll include a link down below that actually Jeff tweeted that out this morning. That's how I saw that, about those sensitivity labels. But Ducks, what else is going on in your world? I know you guys got some, or AvePoint has some stuff coming up here in the near future, if I'm right.
Yeah, so we're excited about Shift Happens Conference. I know there's tons of virtual conference going on, which is great. The community putting it together. Since there's no physical events, everything is now online. In fact, yesterday I just presented at the Microsoft 365 Virtual Marathon Conference. So there's tons out there. And one of the things we realize is, while there's tons of great technical conference, a lot of people are interested to learn about how others have done it. So our conference, Shift Happens Conference, June 22nd to 26th, we will have almost all of the sessions led by customers. So we'll have Heathrow Airport, Deloitte speaking, City of Seattle. They're going to talk about how they're navigating this world, leveraging technologies in Microsoft 365 to enable business continuity and business productivity. It's free. Brad will share the link below. And yeah, we invite everybody. Other than all of our customers speaking, we have FedEx speaking as well. We have Jeff coming and speak, and Sorel from Microsoft. So it'll be a good time, at the end of June.
Very cool. Definitely going to be tuning in for some of those sessions, because it's the best way to learn is to learn how others have done it. While you can go read the Microsoft support help documents, and they are a great source of information, the people who tell you that say, hey, look, you know, we forgot to check the backup repository side when we did our update, and now we did our first backup, and then it blew up the disk. Like, those are the stories that you need to that aren't in the documents that you need to hear about.
Yeah, you know, you just brought up something that I realized right now is, personally, I learn best, and this is not in a negative way, I learn best from other people's either failures or learnings. Sure. Yeah. I don't learn best when I hear about other people's successes. Not to say it's wrong, but it's hard for me to relate, right? Like if Michael Jordan told me, hell yeah, I'm an accomplished basketball player and this is what I've done to succeed, I can't relate because I'm not a pro NBA player. But if he started talking about, you know what, when I was this age, I had to practice every night because I couldn't dunk, and now that I can relate. So learning from that, from other experiences, would be beneficial for me.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree. A lot of projects, when we undertake them, the first question you ask is, what do you wish you did? Like, what did you, if you were to do this again, what would you change? And that is typically a great learning point, because those are the oversights that you don't think about, because on migration, adoption, deployment, there's so many moving parts. And when you're either yourself or a small team trying to get it all done, it's very easy to overlook something, honestly, as simple as just providing documentation to the user. So just little things in life.
And similar to what you described earlier, right? Teams is not becoming smaller, for example. Right. It's becoming bigger. So as Office 365. So the more we can learn from others, the better opportunity you have to do it the best way for your organization. So definitely looking forward to everybody at Shift Happens conference.
Yeah, and those links, again, will be down below. We'll try to get all that stuff out there to make sure we can help Mr. Ducks get some eyeballs on that good content, because there's people are going to want to be one to watch this. I definitely know that I'm going to be tuning in, and it's happening at a great time, right at the end of June. And so, Mr. Ducks, what else has happened? What, you got made any good dishes at home? Made any good runs? What's going on in your life?
So I'm still running. I'm running every other day, about 6 to 10 miles. That keeps me sane, you know. I just have that running addiction. But lately I tried like the coolest ice cream. Have you had bubble tea,
Brad? No, I have heard of it, but only from, honestly, like some younger kids I think in the neighborhood who were kind of loving
it. So bubble tea is a thing. So essentially these drinks, you can get it like coffee or milk with tea or fruits. And they put like these jelly bubbles in the drink. So it's a nice summer drink. I'm sure you'll find it there somewhere. But anyway, I came across this bubble tea ice cream. Now that's really good. And in fact, it's all out of stock in the West Coast. So I saw in the local grocery here, I brought a couple boxes. It was really good. So if you can try it, look for bubble tea ice cream.
That is, I was going to say a hot tip, but I think that's technically more of a cold tip here. As we enter into the summer months. Well, Mr. Ducks, we very much appreciate your insights and taking time out of your busy schedule working from home and while you're not running to talk about ice cream, Office 365, Teams, and everybody else. Make sure to check out those links down below. We'll link Ducks' Twitter. We'll link to Shift Happens. We'll link to the SharePoint stuff. And we're going to get you all the information you need, and subscribe, and we'll catch you right back here next time.
Take care. Bye.